Is weight training on your to-do list, but somehow you still haven't gotten around to getting started? I get it. It's intimidating. It's stepping out of your comfort zone. But wouldn't it be great to finally do it and start looking and feeling younger and stronger? I have the answer for you. My new Strong for Summer coaching program. I've got 6 spaces in this unique 8-week weight training Kickstarter where I'm going to be helping you get started weight training either at home or the weight room, your choice, so you can get stronger in time for summer. If you're interested in learning more, reach out to me in Instagram in my DMs or send me an email at lynn@befitafter40.com. The information is in the show notes. Welcome to 40 Plus Fitness for Women. I'm Lynn, your host, and I help women in their 40s and 50s to look and feel amazing and prepare their bodies for the decades ahead. Hello. So on this episode, I really wanted to talk about these misconceptions because I run into it all the time. So as some of you may know, I belong to a gym and I've been going there for, well, over 10 years. I'm actually like a platinum member nowadays because I've been there so long. And when I first started going, I was really going to group fitness classes. So I've gotten to know a lot of women through group fitness classes. I mean, it's fun. You know, you end up going to the same classes week after week and, you know, probably standing in the same place. I know I am somebody who for my weekly dance class, I want to be just in the front row, a little bit left of center so that I have an easy time following the instructor's choreography. So I show up about half an hour early. So I'm the first one at the door to make sure I get my favorite spot. And when you're hanging out like that, you get to know people. And one of the interesting things now, talking to people now that I have learned so much about what goes on with our bodies in midlife and about what are the best, you know, methods fitness-wise, is I'm hearing women say to me the same fitness myths that I believed for so, so many years. And so I wanted to have this podcast to kind of go through them and hopefully educate some people or at least get you to start questioning, you know, where did you hear that and what whether they're actually true. So let's just start with like a little question for all of you, which is that if you hear somebody utter, or if you think to yourself, hey, I really need to get in shape, or I want to get in shape, like, what is the first thing that you think is like the action that you would do in order to get in shape? Think about that for a second. So I think a lot of us will say something like, oh, I'll take up jogging or start going to group fitness classes or maybe spinning classes. I mean, it's funny how ingrained this idea is in our heads. I had this discussion with my boyfriend a few weeks back. He is not an exerciser. And now he's in midlife and noticing that, you know, he has not changed his eating habits. And so he is immediately like, oh, I need to start exercising again. I'm going to start jogging. And I'm like, okay, you are dating somebody who talks about weight training and the importance of weight training like 24/7. And even you are still thinking that, you know, cardio is going to be the answer to the extra kilos you put on. So it is really, really, really deeply ingrained in us. So of course, it is going to take you hearing this many, 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 many times to start thinking any differently. And I didn't start thinking very differently until I ran smack face first into the fact that those techniques were not working for me anymore, right? I was doing the pump classes. I was doing all of the cardio classes, spinning, dancing, all the things. And then my once lean and toned body all of a sudden wasn't lean and toned anymore. And I had to figure out what the heck was going on. But so I want to ask, like, so what is your goal when you're thinking about fitness? Now, it depends a little bit on how old you are. I'm going to guess what a few of your goals may be. So I think I've noticed that women who are closer to the age of 40, they're, you know, they want to look firm and toned and, you know, feel like they're in good shape. And then as you get closer to 60, like women who are aware that they're going through menopause and they start to get interested in the topic, they are also noticing actual like reduction in their strength. And then they're thinking more about, hey, you know, I should start maybe weight training because I need to do something with my muscles. But even those who recognize that they should be doing something about their muscles, or they think they're doing something about their muscles, and actually the things that they're doing are not very effective for that. So that's really what I want to get into today. So here's the thing, is that we can't help getting older, but we don't have to get old. And really the fountain of youth, the key to feeling and looking younger is going to be around making sure you're maintaining your muscles and your strength. And there is actually a science around building and maintaining muscle and strength and power. It's not rocket science. So, but the problem is that too few women in middle age actually know anything about this because we haven't really been interested in building muscle. I think maybe our daughters are going to have a different experience because now there's this big wave, you know, around the 20 somethings and younger, that they're interested in getting a big booty and legs and those kinds of things. So they are probably going to be a different type of midlife woman than we are. But for us, it's been a lot around being thin and being our smallest self and these kinds of things. So we are not very familiar with what muscles actually need in order to grow. And that's what I'm hoping to help with. So the first myth I want to talk about is that in order to have an effective workout, you need to have a high heart rate and you need to sweat a lot. And I see this coming out. For example, I was talking to a woman in my dance class the other week, which is a cardio class and no weights there at all. And nobody thinks that they're like building muscle there. It's a cardio class. And as we were walking back to the locker room after the class, she said, oh, I haven't seen you in the class very much. And I said, oh yeah, I've been, you know, really working on taking care of my muscles. I've been going to the gym. And she said, oh yeah, I've been, you know, going to kettlebell class. Cause you know, that's really tough. And the way she said the tough was she was indicating that, yeah, she gets really sweaty and it's really hard and she feels, you know, really like she's done something afterwards. And that's something that it's really, really hard to let go of. The idea that you need to feel like you've been run over by a truck, like you've climbed to the top of Mount Everest or done something really, really hard in order for the workout to be effective. That's one kind of workout. So if you want to do, like, I think it is a really good idea to be doing high intensity cardio, but not every day. If in my ideal world, if I had enough time to work out as much as I would want, so I could incorporate make the perfect life, I would have high intensity where I'm hitting my maximum heart rate. I would do that once a week, that's it. And now I do it once every 2 weeks. So that's only one part of the exercise equation. And then weight training is actually kind of at the other extreme because, well, I'll share this week on Instagram. So if you follow me, you'll see. But what my heart rate looks like in a cardio class and what my heart rate looks like when I'm weight training, because weight training is, it's a whole different beast. And when I walk out of there, I certainly do not look like I look when I walk out of my cardio class. When I walk out of my cardio class, my face is red, my hair is like plastered to my head, my shirt is, you know, sweated through, and I stink. So yeah, I am somebody who does not smell like a rose when I've been sweating. Maybe that was TMI. But in any case, when I run into women in the locker room after I've come from the weight room, like they really could not tell if I'm coming or going, right? Because my hair still looks fine. Okay, it might be a little bit messy if I've been like leaning against some machine, my ponytail may be a little out of whack, but I'm not sweaty. My clothes look the same. I don't smell, you know, usually I can take a quick rinse and I'm ready to go on to do whatever I need to do. And even in the cardio world, now there is a lot of discussion because they're discovering now, I think that a lot of people have known this for a long time, that zone two cardio is really, really good for your health, for your heart health. And that's a level of cardio where you can still have a discussion, right? At the same time. So please don't feel like you need to be killing yourself and exhausting yourself and depleting yourself for you to pat yourself on in the back that this was a great workout. Yes, those high intensity classes are good for heart health, but so is the walking that you do, and definitely so is the weight training that you do. And for most effective weight training, it is going to be something where you are not going to raise your heart rate very much. Okay, so that was myth number one, that you need to be really having a high heart rate and to sweat a lot to have like a good, you know, workout, that it is something worth counting. And then another, well, myth or something that has become so, so popular, and so especially on social media nowadays, you see so many of these combo exercise classes where the instructor is like, hey, we're going to do a full body workout, set up dumbbells in their hands, and they're doing a bicep curl at the same time as they're doing a reverse lunge. The thing is that, okay, so where do I even get started, I feel like, with this one? But, you know, these are fun. They get a lot of variety. For sure, you feel just like in the previous myth that you've been hit by a truck and it is hard. And yes, you've got weights in your hands, so you may be thinking that now you've done something effective for your muscles. And if you've never done anything before with weights, then yes, your muscles are getting some stimulus because they're going from zero to something, right? But as far as effectiveness, that is not very effective. Okay, if we just, so there are many reasons for this, but if we just think about, let's say three. One is that the dumbbells that you would use to do a bicep curl are going to be much smaller than the dumbbells you would use in the reverse lunge, because your bicep muscles are just much smaller than your thigh and glute muscles that are the ones doing most of the work in the reverse lunge. So you may challenge your biceps with that weight, but for sure, you are not going to be close to really challenging your glutes and your thigh muscles, at least not for very long. Like I said, if you are brand new, you've never done this before, then yeah, even doing a body weight reverse lunge will feel like something and get you sore, and you will get a little bit stronger. That's going to be like a few workouts, and then you're going to stop progressing. And then the other thing is that actually you most likely won't even be able to challenge your biceps as much as you could challenge them if you would just separate those two moves. So what I would suggest that instead of doing the two combined is that you do your bicep curls and then you can superset them, which means that you then take a break from doing bicep curls. You do one set of bicep curls and then you take a break and you pick up a heavier weight and you do your reverse lunges. And then when you're done with that set, then you go back and you do your bicep curls and then you do your reverse lunges. And that is going to be way more effective a workout. It's not going to feel as hard, most likely, or it's going to feel hard in a different way. Because when you're doing the combo exercise, you are actually making a lot of requirements of your body. You're asking your body to coordinate, first of all, two different motions, your arms curling and doing the reverse lunge step, which requires some degree of balance. And we know that if your body is being asked to do many things at once, it's not as good as at doing one thing. In fact, just the fact that you're trying to keep your balance at the same time as you're doing an exercise, your body is thinking about, hey, I don't want to fall, because its primary job is to keep you safe and falling is not safe. And so it's not able to focus as much on doing the bicep curls. So you can try this actually as an experiment, that try like standing on one foot and doing bicep curls versus standing on 2 feet doing bicep curls, or even sitting down while you're doing your bicep curls. And you will likely notice that the more stable your body is otherwise, so that your body doesn't need to think about like, hey, I might fall over, the more you are able to recruit your biceps to actually do work. And then the other part of the combo exercises is that in a lot of cases, they're set up in a way where you're able to use momentum to help in one of the exercises. So if you think about like doing a bicep curl at the same time as you are stepping backwards into a reverse lunge, well, your body is sinking down. Your dumbbells going up are being helped by that fact that your body is going downward. It's like trying to do a bicep curl in an elevator when your elevator is going down. It's going to be lighter. If you've studied physics, you've probably done some experiments or some calculations with that. In summary, if you want to work your muscles effectively, skip the combo exercises and rather separate out doing, for example, the bicep curls and the reverse lunges, do them, you know, first the bicep curls, then the reverse lunges, back and forth like that instead. Then the other part is that, you know, you do want to be challenging your muscles close to failure. And in these combo exercises, it's harder to track whether you are actually doing that. So maybe that was enough on the combo exercises. You can tell I am not a big fan. If you love them because it's a great cardio workout and you think it's fun, I'm not saying you can't do them, but please just understand that if what you're aiming at is to get back your strength that you have lost with age, or, you know, to just gain strength in general, then that is really not going to be a very effective or efficient way of doing that. Yeah. And actually kind of related to that is pump classes at the gym. So I, for example, I did body pump classes for years. When I went back to the gym, I think it was not very long. So I've been, like I mentioned, 10 years back at the gym. And I was doing group fitness classes, and I don't think it was long, maybe a couple of years that they started having the body pump classes. And I started going to them and I thought, hey, I'm taking care of my muscles. So because I didn't really understand how muscles work and about type 1 and type 2 muscle fibers, I thought that I was taking care of my muscles. And actually, it's only now that I realize that even their marketing, they talk about being a muscle endurance class and not really developing muscle size or strength. And for sure, all those instructors that you see in their videos are not just doing those pump classes to achieve those results. And I mean, I noticed this myself because I was going to those pump classes for so many years and I was pushing myself really hard. You know, I've always been one of those people that, oh, you know, my workout time is me time and I'm going to just take all I can from it. And so I was really pushing myself with the weights, making sure that my muscles couldn't really do much more by the end of the sets, which were really, really long sets. And I was doing bicep curls with 5 kilos for a really long time. And I wasn't able to progress up, you know, from them. Okay, the pump equipment doesn't really let you progress up very easily. They have a very big jump to the next size. But in any case, that 5 kilos was like getting my biceps really burning. And when I switched over to working out in the weight room with dumbbells, so I was working out with dumbbells in the pump classes and then dumbbells in the weight room, it was really not long before I was curling 10 kilo dumbbells. I mean, that's a significant hike in strength in a short period of time. So it just shows, like, if you're doing the things that, you know, if you're doing the right things, you're going to see results so much faster and see more results. Because after years of doing the pump, I was not ever getting to that point. Now, one thing I do like about the group fitness pump type classes is that it is a lower barrier to entry for a lot of women to actually pick up a weight. You know, when you have an instructor there, it's a familiar format to you. You've got the music, you can just go in there and just follow what the instructor does. So, you know, I don't have anything against people getting started with that. And in addition, like, of course, if that's something you really enjoy, you know, by all means do it. But if you want to get the most bang for your minute that you are working out at the gym, then the weight room is definitely going to be much more effective for that. This kind of plays into another myth, which is that, you know, do anything and it's going to be better than nothing. Okay, maybe that's not entirely a myth, because on the one hand, if you're sitting on the couch and you literally are doing nothing, or you're just going jogging, or you're just, you know, doing cardio, then you'll probably see some kind of result from that. But if you just go into the weight room and you're like, okay, so what should I do today? Okay, this machine looks like fun. Okay, I'll sit down here and let me try this weight. Oh yeah, I think I can do this. And then you change the weight a little bit. Yeah, I could do this. And you kind of spend your half hour or whatever going around like that, you will get so much more result if you have a program where you have exercises chosen for you so that you're working every muscle of your body, and then you systematically do those every time you go in. Weight training is, in a way, boring. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this quote, which is same shit, different shirt, but that is what weight training is. And that is what is going to be effective, is you're going to be repeating basically the same workout week after week, month after month, year after year. Okay, maybe that's a little exaggeration. Generally, people do switch things up. Personally, I go about 3 months, and this is what I am doing with my clients also, about 3 months of the same set of exercises. And then we look at, okay, so what do we swap out? And sometimes the swaps are, you know, you notice that a certain muscle is lagging, or, you know, if you're getting really bored of a particular exercise, or sometimes you just want variety. So you're like, okay, I want to do this with the cables. I mean, that's allowed too, but then you do it consistently. Another myth is to get that toned look, you need to do light weights. First of all, that toned look that a lot of women are seeking, including me, is muscle showing, right? You can see a little bit of the outline of the muscle. And that's going to rely or depend on two factors. One is you got to have some muscle to show. And two, you've got to have a low enough body fat that you can see the muscle underneath. So for example, somebody could be working out and have a six pack, but it's not visible because their body fat percentage is high. And for me, for example, I was now working out all winter at a weight where you couldn't really see much of my muscle definition. And now in the spring, I started a diet to lose some body fat so that you can see some of the muscle definition now underneath. Of course, today I'm wearing a shirt, so even those of you watching this on video can't see much muscle definition, but maybe go check out my reels. So you need both those things in order to look toned. Okay, so those were the myths that we covered. So there was the myth that in order to be an effective workout, you need to have a high heart rate and sweat a lot and feel like you've been run over by a truck by the end of it. The second myth is that combo exercises are effective because they really are not a very effective way of challenging your muscles. Third myth is that pump classes are a good way of challenging your muscles. So it has a lot of the same issues as the combo exercises. It's a little bit better as far as you aren't usually doing two exercises at once. So you're focusing on one muscle group at a time. But because you have so many reps and you're not consistently making sure you're going close to failure, it's not really going to work very well. Next myth is that in order to get that toned look, you need to do a lot of cardio and light weights with lots of reps. Nope. You need to do the same things as if you want to build muscle. And then you need to take care of your diet because it is about having muscle to show and your muscle showing by you having a low enough body percentage. And then finally, the myth that doing something, you know, is going to be effective, like random workouts. It really is not. There is a science to building muscle, and it is about getting a good program and then just doing it over and over and over again and applying progressive overload, getting close to failure. For more tips on what you need to do to build muscle, check out podcast number 5, which is the 5 things that you need to do to build muscle. And then there's also podcast number 3, which has tips for starting weight training in midlife. So both of those have some good information on what you need to be doing. And in addition, I would actually say the number 4, which is muscles in midlife, a quick lesson in muscle biology, because that explains what is going on with your muscles and how is it that you stimulate them to actually grow and get stronger. Okay, so those are the myths. And now let's talk about 2 mindset shifts because these are super duper important. Okay, first is that taking care of your muscles is self-care. It's not entertainment. So I've heard people talking about, oh, I don't really want to go to the weight room. It's boring. It's lonely. There are no friends there. Nobody wants to talk. It's the same thing day in and day out. Well, yeah, that's true because, like I said, there's a science to building and maintaining your muscles, and the type of training that weight training is pretty, you know, you do the same thing over and over again. But I don't know. I think most people who actually try it and try it long enough that they start to see some results, they actually get kind of hooked and they feel like it's kind of zen to go into the weight room and you know what you're going to do and you just kind of get to it and you have your music, or I guess some people listen to podcasts when they're training. I listen to music, but in any case, and you know, you could think about your cardio as your entertainment. So vary up your cardio. Do tennis one day, walking another day, spinning another day. You know, there are so many varieties of cardio. And then just do the, you know, weight training, the program that you follow week after week, month after month, year after year. And, you know, think of it more like an investment in your future. So the same way that you're probably putting money away for your retirement, think of the hours that you spend weight training as, you know, an investment in your body being there so that when you're retired, you can do the things you want to do when you're retired, right? Otherwise, really, you are losing muscle mass and strength as you age. So it's akin to putting money in like just a regular bank account and expecting that there's going to be something there when you retire, when we all know that with the rate of inflation, that money is just losing value all the time. So you need to put it to work, same way you need to put your muscles to work in order for them to be there to help you later in life. And you can also think about it like brushing your teeth. Right? For a long time, people weren't in the habit of brushing their teeth. And I don't know if you remember, but there used to be a lot of ads around, hey, if you want to have your own chompers, you know, when you retire and not have dentures, then start brushing your teeth. And I guess I'm saying kind of the same thing, that if you want your body to work and you don't want to have all these aids and be dependent on other people to help you, then take care of your muscles. Think of it like brushing your teeth, just something you got to do and just do it, right? And the third way you could think about it, so here's these suggestions so that, you know, maybe one of them appeals to you. The third way to think about it is as a way to keep your body youthful the same way as you do things for your face. Most likely you are taking care of the skin on your face. You're using sunscreen. You're applying retinols. You might even be using Botox. All those things so that your face is younger than it would be otherwise. Well, weight training will do the same thing for your body so that the way your body feels, the way you move, the way you carry yourself, the things you're able to do, they are going to be significantly better than if you hadn't taken care of your muscles as you age. And then the second mindset shift, which I already mentioned earlier, but I think it is so worth mentioning again, is that weight training is a real workout, even if it's calmer paced, even if you're taking breaks between your set, even if your sports watch tells you that, oh, you're detraining, or wow, you know, you're training so much less than usual. These are all things that my sports watch told me when I started weight training. It really is a form of exercise and a workout that you can totally pat yourself on the back for doing each time you do it, regardless of the fact that you don't feel like you've been hit by a truck when you're finished. Okay, well, that really turned into a long one this time. Was not my intention, but I do want to say that if you are ready to get started and you want help, then please reach out to me. I still have space in my Strong for Summer program. I just onboarded one of the newest students yesterday, and it was wonderful. We discussed her goals. We went over what kind of equipment she has. She showed me her home weight room. And then I've designed a program just for her that she can use the equipment that she has, and she's been able to get started. So yay for her. And I'm excited to work with her for the next 8 weeks. So if you want to work with me, then give me a shout. You can learn more about the program at www.befitafter4040.com. And yeah, otherwise, I will talk to you next time. Happy training. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of 40 Plus Fitness for Women. If you're enjoying the podcast and want to show your appreciation, please hit the subscribe button. That helps me to reach more listeners because it signals to the podcast algorithm gods that this is a good show. Talk to you next week.